5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Sometimes people disappear so completely, it's like they never existed. But someone always remembers. Megan Miranda. Welcome to Grimly.
Probably.
It feels like it's all around.
All about the bottom line, I think. Eventually, unfortunately, we are recording.
Ew. What? Oh, we are trying to do the intro right away so we can cut all that.
Welcome to Grimly.
Hi, welcome to Grimly.
What That's messy.
Is going on, party people?
Oh, sorry.
So sorry. I am Missy. Yes, you're correct. You introduced me. I am so sorry. I did not introduce you. You were Meg.
Well, that's because you were busy.
Last time I checked.
Introducing.
Saying everything with the punctuation behind it. Yes.
Yes, I was. We haven't nailed it yet.
Oh, really? Sure. Really? No. You couldn't fucking tell we haven't nailed it yet?
Really on intro, we haven't nailed, but we are practicing. And again, you did it.
I did.
Twice.
I tried. I'm trying.
This is a lady about her business.
Yeah. If you know what? I am committed to a thing. I am 100% or 0%.
Top of mind.
Because I, like, truly, I'm kind of top tier laziness. So if I'm not 100% doing it, I'm 0% doing it.
Oh, but you do most things.
I do a lot of things.
You do a lot of things.
I don't half-ass anything.
Listen, if I don't know if you're going to cut it, but if we could reverse... It does seem like you do
some things. Half-ass. Yeah, that's true.
Things that you don't want to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Would I have to do them?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so glad that you agree with me because I was like, this is borderline offense.
No, it isn't. No, it's, you're not wrong. I'm talking about things that I don't get paid for.
You will much prefer to do things you don't get paid for, unfortunately.
Yeah, exactly. That's the problem. We're talking about my job, which I've never mentioned on this pod. Where I work, so it doesn't really fucking matter.
Good. Yeah, see? Yeah. Oh, she's a non.
Yes. Yeah, hi.
Well, welcome to Grimly.
I am Missy, and that's Megan, and we are here to tell you some spooky
what
things.
What are we talking about?
No, we're not doing that yet.
Wait, you have some shit to say?
No, we're going back to the burger fight that we had.
Okay, all right, fine.
Because you, I was like, I love a classic cheeseburger.
I support
the business. Just meat, bun, cheese, ketchup, mustard. And you, no, you did support me. You poo-pooed that.
It's not for me, is what I said.
Oh, my God.
Okay. I support you in this. It's not for me.
But you want a fancy burger.
I just, listen, more important than any of that.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I don't want ketchup on a burger at all.
Why not ketchup?
I don't really like ketchup anyway.
Okay.
I'm a mustard, but only a one type of mustard, like a spicy, not one type of mustard. I actively dislike yellow mustard.
That's insane. That's
I know. Insane. Those two things are okay. There's some things that I think are stuck in my head that mm-hmm. I the only way I can describe it now is that those things equal white trashy to mm-hmm. me, and those are ketchup, yellow mustard, box mac and cheese, American yellow cheddar cheese.
So all of the American classics.
Yes. not my favorites, but like swap it for a white cheddar, totally fine with it. Eat it on a burger.
What about a boxed white cheddar mac?
I've had the Annie's shells, cheese and shells.
Yeah,
not terrible, but those. You know what it is about the Kraft? Is those fucking shitty, soggy, limp dick little noodles.
The elbow pasta from hell.
It's not even regular elbow pasta. Those things cook in like 4 minutes.
They do cook very quickly.
It's like somebody like soaked a bunch of elbow pasta.
Yeah.
And then you cook it. It's so
it's soggy. It's probably treated in a weird way.
It's weird because they're so, never al dente.
Yeah. No, whenever, if I'm doing a quote unquote box mac and cheese, I'm buying the box. I think it is generally Kraft though. That has the cheese packet.
Yes.
Like the Velveeta cheese packet. Oh, this is
over my head. No.
Where you cook the pasta and then you just put the cheese packet in the pasta after. The
powdered.
No, it's not powdered. It's like Velveeta cheese.
Oh,
like,
I don't know
like
this.
Like a soft.
Wouldn't be on my radar.
Okay. I mean, I'll bring it over. I'm going to try it.
I will not try it, but Dave will do it.
Oh, come on.
It's so gross to me.
You won't try sauce of a cheese pack or cheese out of sauce packet.
I'll taste it. I'm an adult.
Oh my god.
I'm an adult. I'll taste it.
Okay.
This was supposed to be a burger fight.
This was supposed to be a burger. Now it's a mac and cheese fight. No, because I was talking about a smash burger, a classic smash burger, which is our local burger chain, which is Dick's
Drive-In.
The jokes are themselves. I get it. Dick's Burgers. And they're very cheap.
Yes, that's great.
It's like $3.
And they're a good
maybe
company. They take care of their people.
Yeah, they pay their employees well. Yes. You get like tuition compensation.
That's true. They're doing the things.
They're doing the things.
They are.
And they're opening one up here where you live.
We are.
Mm-hmm. But you say you didn't like those burgers.
I'm not a fan of the burgers. But
why?
If I'm going. But then
once. Not?
I don't find them to be seasoned appropriately.
Okay.
The french fries totally fucking suck.
They cut their own fries, though.
Okay, that doesn't matter. Double fry then, please. They're not crispy.
Yeah, they're usually...
And here we go. It's similarly mediocre as In-N-Out Burger.
Oh, that's the tea.
That's the tea.
Yeah.
All janky. And you know what?
Yeah.
That's fine. If I'm going to eat one of those... And this was the real, this was the, this is how the conversation about a burger started.
Yeah.
Because if I'm going to eat one of those burgers, I'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
It needs to be extremely hot. Like,
that's
what
the conversation started. Yes. Yeah.
I'm not going to like order it to my house.
Yes.
Because then the cheese gets kind of weird. And
it was the cheese melt situation.
Yes. It's kind of like the solidified cheese.
Congealed?
Congealed. Exactly.
Okay. See, I always am down for a Dick's Burger.
No matter what?
No matter what.
A cold Dick's Burger?
If I'm drunk enough, probably.
Well, you should eat it if you're drunk. No matter what.
Just, eat something, for God's sakes. But,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I'm never opposed.
I'm the Dick's Burgers. I'm just saying, it's not my first choice of a burger. And I actually don't think they smash their burgers. They're just a real thin little patty.
Okay. Excuse me.
Sorry, but because I think a smash burger has like a proper crust on it, in which case that's a fancy burger.
Now it is, I think.
Now, yeah.
Now it's like retro.
Like we've kind fancy. Of gone.
Yeah, it's true.
Full circle. I could be wrong though. I never worked at Dick's. They might smash their burgers. I don't know.
If anyone works at Dick's, listen
I'd
to this
love
podcast.
To know, honestly.
Let us know.
Tell us all the good things.
Can you tell us? Is there an NDA for Dick's burgers?
I doubt it.
I don't know.
What do they have to hide?
Oh, yeah, that's a great question.
We both worked in the restaurant industry in this city, and I've never heard a nasty thing about them. Not even once.
Yeah, agreed. Totally. No,
it's a Washington treasure.
It is a Washington treasure. Yeah. And they're expanding more and more. So hopefully that means they're doing well.
Sounds like it.
Yeah. I don't know if that means they're becoming corporate overlords.
And celebrate the opening of the new.
Yeah. Okay. There's going to be one close to you now. Mm-hmm. And like their chocolate shakes are good.
Chocolate shakes are good.
Like you can get a burger, a fry, and chocolate shake for less than $10.
Okay.
Where else?
No. That's, fantastic.
Yeah.
I guess my thing is, like, at the end of the day, I'm a chicken nuggets kid. and
chicken strip, chicken nugget.
Yeah. Yeah. So if I go to a burger place and their fries suck, that's, if I'm not in the mood for a burger, that's the only thing I'm going to order.
Yeah. Okay. I see what you're saying. As someone who's also genuinely usually a chicken strip person, Dick's Burgers is like, I want that specifically.
Okay. But so
I want the burger with just the bun, the meat, the cheese, and the ketchup and the mustard.
No lettuce, tomato, onion.
I want the deluxe.
Lettuce, tomato, pickle?
I don't even know what's on the deluxe. I don't get the deluxe.
She said who needs it.
No.
Listen, when I really crave a burger, it's not all that different. It's not ketchup or mustard.
Mm-hmm.
It is usually some sort of like flavored mayo.
An aioli.
Mm-hmm. Maybe like a blue cheese and bacon or something. So, or like cheese and bacon. Fancy. But no lettuce. I do like a crunchy onion, but
yeah. I think maybe because I also used to work at a fancy burger place for a long time.
You did. You know what? I didn't tell you this. Huh. My dad, I think he's dating. So he's been going on dates.
Oh.
And he recently discovered Loretta's, and which he said he went to with friends.
Okay.
But the other day he was like, oh, I went to this burger place in Woodinville.
Oh, really?
Yes. And all these fantastic things to say about it, and the boozy milkshakes.
Yep.
And I was like, those two. I know it.
Yeah,
I'm familiar.
Yep.
Thanks for telling me about it.
Right. I worked there for a long time.
I know.
And so maybe I'm just like so poo-pooed now for like fancy burgers because I think it's just too much.
Too much.
I. So it's like the thing about burgers, like it's the mobility to eat them. Mm-hmm. That's a big part of it, to be able to eat in your car.
Sure.
You can't do that with most fancy burgers.
No, you can't.
You need a fork and a knife. You need to be able to cut that thing in half.
See, this is where the... Okay, now we're really in the weeds
the
here.
The great burger debate.
Yeah, this is where the bun thickness what type of bun really comes into play here.
I think that's part of it, for sure. But it's also the toppings on a burger.
Too many layers.
There's too many layers. It's falling out. Too much stuff. Like you take one bite, it's all falling out the other end.
That's true.
I don't think no matter what the bun is, it's going to help that.
I do think those just potato buns, you know, the ones that you buy in the grocery store that like someone's mom threw on a Costco burger, hold them better because they get soft. Like a hot dog bun almost. They get really soft and they kind of mold around the food. Those big ass brioche buns that are like, you know,
thick.
Yeah, they're it's like thick 2 inches.
Yeah.
Get out of here. Take it off.
I mean, but that's most fancy burgers.
I agree. But like a nice brioche bun should be
delicious.
Soft. Should be soft.
Yes.
But if you don't have a good brioche dough, then it's just like a big
I get it.
Puck on the top of the burger.
Yeah. But, like, sometimes...
Okay, I hear you.
I don't think it matters, though.
You're looking for consistency.
When it comes to the consistency with the fancy burger. It's too much. Also, I'm going to a place that usually has, like, a fancy burger. There's usually something else I want to eat.
Oh, really?
You know? At least personally.
Just depends.
Like, you go to a restaurant. And like they have, like a steakhouse. Yeah. Or, I don't know. Like, just a list of food items. I'm not getting the Wagyu beef burger.
You're not?
No. Depends. Maybe in, like, Montana. Or somewhere that does like beef, like that type of, you know, good beef, maybe.
No, but Queens has a really good burger.
Never been.
It's like a bar.
Oh, okay,
but I've heard of it. A nice bar.
Yeah,
got a great burger.
Okay, I trust your judgment. If we ever go there together, maybe
Loretta's
I will try it.
Is another one, but it's sort of like a Smashburger vibe.
Yeah, I'm not opposed to Smashburger.
I know you love it.
Yeah.
Oh, everyone loves it.
Yeah. Because they're easy to eat.
I hear you. I agree.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Thank you. That's all I want to hear 66 episodes in. I want to hear I'm right. And now we could leave. Podcast is done. Bye, guys.
Later.
I just wanted someone to tell me I was right.
You're so right.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah. Don't you go to therapy anymore? Call my therapist. Tell them sessions are canceled.
It happened.
Goodbye. All right. Anyways.
Well, what are we talking about today?
We are talking about a
thing. Is there a Sigu?
No, there's not
a Sigu. It's not a burger Sigu?
No. I mean, maybe because this happened in summer. We are well into summer for this episode because this is after our break.
Oh, okay.
So we're recording these episodes pre-break.
Pre-break.
Not post-break.
Yes, this is, but it is after Memorial Day, and my husband and I argued because he doesn't think it's summer until it's officially summer. And I said, it is summer after Memorial Day.
Like,
and
summer solstice.
Yeah.
Summer.
I was like, no, I need a hot dog, and therefore it is summer.
Yeah, hot dog summer.
Yeah.
So the hot girl summer, you can get the hot dog summer.
To kick it off.
Yeah, I'm wearing shorts today.
You are wearing shorts?
Yeah, look at these fucking pasty yams. I had
the fans on all day. Yeah. It's been warm.
Yeah, it's been a warm day.
I say summer.
Yeah, so I guess the only segue is that this story also happens in the summer.
We did it. That's how on top of we are. Yeah. That's how talented.
Right.
And
that's how well thought
exactly
this podcast is.
Planned.
I didn't walk
intentional.
In.
Intentional.
Not knowing what we were talking about. Mm-mm. Just like we're just making it up as we go. Clearly we are planned. Mm-hmm. Planned and attractive.
Yes.
Yeah, totally. I was going to say planned and hot, but then I already said.
I would have said something with a P, but I
planned and proactive.
Planned and punctual.
I know. It's the only word I could think of.
Planning and packing? But we're not dudes.
No.
All right, let's carry on.
Planning and packing is funny, though.
Okay.
Let's get into the story. This one is not as quite as long as the other ones we have talked about recently.
Okay.
So feel free to yell at me.
Okay.
Whenever you feel like. I'm giving you that disclosure.
All right.
Yeah. Keep drink a little more wine. So... we've taken a baby shot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I took almost a full shot. Let's be real. You took a baby shot.
Well, that's because I spilled half of it.
You did. You absolutely spilled half of it with your fucking cubed ice.
Giant square ice cube.
Mm-hmm.
Oops. I tried to chill the tequila.
You did.
Yeah.
I mean, you kind of chilled it.
Well, I did. And then I spilled it.
Yeah. You chilled it and spilled. All right. So sometimes a person disappears without a trace, not because they ran, not because they were taken, but because something inside them broke.
Oh, no.
Their name forgotten and a face staring back at them they do not recognize. A life wiped clean like a fog on a mirror. In the summer of 1993, Craig Williamson kissed his wife goodbye and set out on a business trip that should have lasted just a few days. Instead, it launched a search that crossed state lines, blurred memories, and tested the meaning of love and loyalty. Was Craig the victim of a brutal attack, or did he simply walk away from a life that had become too heavy to carry?
Williamson. Okay.
Yeah. I know, I saw that a little weird.
I just wanted to make sure I knew it was.
Thank you. Yeah. So this is the disappearance and reappearance of Craig Williamson. Williamson. Jesus.
But I know, you say Williamson.
Williamson.
Is it son or some?
Son.
Williamson. There you go.
Okay. Jesus Williamson. Christ.
Okay. Williamson.
Yeah.
Craig Williamson.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. So Craig Williamson.
There you go.
There we go. And Christine Reinhard met in 1990. Jesus. The tequila hit me. Yeah.
So it's not your fault. I'm also not shaming you. I'm just like, what is
No, it got me good. You took a half a shot, took a whole shot. Here we go. All right. So Craig and Christine met in 1990 and fell quickly in love.
No.
Okay.
How epic would it be if you're like, Missy is too drunk to carry on?
She lost her. I take my notes. Yes. That would be actually really fucking funny. Should we do that one next? Yes.
I feel like we're halfway to it now. Oh, yeah. Get your shit together.
Someone punch me in the face. Okay. So, Craig and Christine only knew each other for a month.
Oh, okay.
And they get married.
Okay.
On October 7th at Lake Tahoe in California.
Oh, okay.
Craig was 46 and Christine was 41.
They were grown adults. Let them do it.
This is both of their second marriages.
Okay.
Look at them. Cute. So this was a story on Unsolved Mysteries. The OG Unsolved Mysteries. And they show this clip.
Source material.
Oh, yeah, really, truly. So... they showed this clip of them at this wedding. I'll show you a picture of it. And the kiss that they have after they...
is a ferocious?
I wanted to turn... I had, like, cringy
It was a lot of kissing.
It was a lot.
It was a lot. Somebody bent backwards.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
There was that moment. It was like also really long into the kissing moment before he actually did that.
Okay. It was like they were hot for each other.
Yeah. The secondhand embarrassment was intense. And okay. This was them at their Lake Tahoe ceremony.
Oh my. Oh, you know what? I didn't expect that.
I know they're dressed like they're going to the supermarket.
They look like the sweetest. What year was this?
1990.
Okay, mm-hmm. It's giving. They look like what my grandparents would have looked like in 1990.
Yeah, but they're 46 and 41.
Uh huh. Uh huh. Yes.
Yeah.
It's odd. It would be odd to see those two people making out and do an extreme PDA.
It was a lot.
But like that moment. Setting, like the background of the wedding is like overlooking. It looks it's lovely. A cliffside overlooking the lake. It's beautiful.
Like Lake Tahoe's in the background. Stunning. It looks lovely.
Yes. I didn't expect to see those two. I thought they were two. I don't know what.
Someone our age.
Yeah. I don't
Let's
know.
Be real.
Yeah. They look different than I thought.
Yeah. Yeah. So, Craig and Christine had met in Port Townsend, Washington.
Wow.
Shout out. Okay. On a spiritual healing retreat.
They look like both of these things are true.
And they said that their connection was instant. And so, this is a picture of a more close-up picture of Craig, who is 1,000% a street Santa, like I pointed out the other day.
I didn't say Santa earlier, but he does.
Street Santa.
And you know what? Seeing that up close photo of him, you could get it.
Yeah, I was just like, are you able to say you could get it?
He's looking very nicely in face.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
He's very tall. I didn't say it earlier, but like he's tall, yeah, statuesque guy. Yeah.
You remember the other day when you were at lunch, yes, our friend was having a very intense conversation with us, and I just like look up and I'm like, oh, look, a street Santa.
Yes.
I think maybe that's where that sparked this.
Yes. Yeah. Listen, it happened. I felt it in my brain too. Yeah. I was like, oh,
there's another street Santa.
What are the chances?
Yeah. And this is
two Santas in one week.
Fucking Christine, who was 41 years old.
She doesn't look 41.
I know. She is. What, 4 years older than us?
What were they doing back then?
Smoking? I think it's smoking.
They might have been.
I think it's cigarettes.
Oh, shit.
And not wearing sunscreen.
Oh, my God.
So do those things, guys, because
I'm not styling. Saying
that Christine looks bad.
It's the styling.
It's a little bit of the styling, I think, for sure. Like, those glasses aren't helping. The big bottle, like, half of her face. Glasses.
I know, and that could just be not a nice photo of her.
This is a solo for talking.
Like, I look very, very different
for sure.
One photo to another.
Yes. Yes, 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 yes.
Okay, but yeah.
Sunscreen and dust smoke. Well, there's that whole thing is like, why do millennials look so young?
You don't know.
And yes. Like, Gen Zers look so fucking old.
They don't look old.
I think compared to millennials.
Okay. Who's deciding?
It's a trend on the internet.
Okay.
I think, for sure.
I've just not seen a younger person that looks older than me.
There's a lot of Gen Zers who are doing like the injections very early, like the fillers and stuff.
That's true.
They're also vaping.
Oh.
We are the window between cigarettes and vaping. And so I think that's really helping us.
Okay. Well.
We also, I think we used the oil of ole that had SPF 30 in it during high school. At least I did.
Yeah.
So shout out to SPF.
We haven't done sunscreen for a minute.
Yes, 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 yes.
Mm. I don't know. Also, we did put sun in our hair and tanning oils on.
Yes, we also went to tanning beds with
tanning beds.
Mm-hmm. With a little sticker that shows how tan we got. So there's.
Yeah, but that's like once a week, twice a week, if you're crazy town.
Yeah.
It's not every day, multiple times a day, like if you were smoking a cigarette.
Yes, exactly.
I don't know. Interesting.
Yeah. I think there's something to be said. Or maybe it's the red dye 40 in our food.
It's helping us?
Yeah.
Wow. I take it back.
Remember that purple ketchup? That green ketchup?
Green ketchup?
Remember those? Like the colored ketchups that came out
when we were children? I'd remember.
Like there was a blue one. There was a purple one. There was a green one.
Ew.
Yeah. It's thing called Easy Squirt.
Yeah. I never tasted that.
I definitely did.
Oh, no. Does it taste the same? Or is it sort of like a jelly flavor?
I think it's
flavor.
Just ketchup just dyed a different color.
Okay.
So.
Okay. How do they get the red out of it, though? Do you know what I mean?
I think it'd be enough dye.
You think so?
Yeah.
Don't you think it would turn black or brown?
I think they probably figured it out.
They must have.
Yeah. The fucking national scale, at least.
Gross.
Anyways.
Okay.
Also, Easy Squirt is a terrible name.
Anyways, I'm just saying, I wish. I wish I was an Easy Squirt.
Whoa.
I'm okay. Just making jokes here. Yeah,
but up to sweep that as a fucking soundboard.
I know.
Thing.
I know.
We need a broad in bedumptus. Okay. So their marriage, Christine and Craig's marriage, was spontaneous but filled with big plans. They had hoped to break into the world of fish farming.
Okay.
Specifically selling tilapia.
Oh, tilapia. Okay. Yeah. Have you been to the salmon hatchery? Is that different than fish farming?
Yeah.
That was the most judgmental science bitch. Yeah.
Yeah, bitch.
You're like, it's very different.
Well, salmon are native to Washington State. Tilapia is native to Africa.
Listen, I know that tilapia is gross. I don't buy it.
Yeah, I think tilapia is like good for like fried fish, like fish sticks.
If I go to a Mexican restaurant and I order the fried fish tacos, they're probably giving me tilapia, and I don't question them about.
I'm not like I'm not fried fish or farm fish
tilapia
either.
In my home and cooking it in my home. Never. Yeah,
it was funny because this Unsolved Mysteries episode was talking about how it was a exotic and tasty fish.
Exotic? It's a white fish.
It's a white fish.
Is it basic white fish?
Yeah, but it came from
Africa.
Basic, your basic white fish. Oh my God, that's a good fucking insult. She's
like, that's the name of the pod.
That's my
the episode.
That's my drag queen
basic
name.
Basic white fish.
I'm a basic white fish.
That's pretty funny. Or like an Instagram name.
Yeah, it's like basic white fish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like, maybe that could be your Finsta.
Yes.
Look it up. Okay. So that's tilapia. That's what tilapia is. It's basic white fish. Yes. I feel like it's just tasty though. So
some seasoning, sure. Yeah. It's fried and some oil.
In the right way.
I'm not mad at tilapia, but like, I want you to listen. I asked you a dumb science question, like a dumb biology question, but like, I know the difference between salmon and tilapia. And tilapia is janky, which means it's not raised in a sustainable way that I.
Not in a fish hatchery. That's for sure.
But I don't know.
They're not putting tilapia in our native streams. Fish hatcheries are usually like we're putting
temporary.
Yes, we're making sure babies. We have enough to put into streams for the surrounding areas.
Oh, to go back into nature.
To go back into nature,
not so people can farm. Oh, no,
fish farming is very different.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Okay. So they started fish farming. They started farming tilapia.
Okay, and you know what? Whatever. I'm not really mad about it if you're doing it the right way. Yeah. Like, and if I can order it or purchase it and it's like not grody.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Exactly. Yeah. Craig and Christine relocated to Christine's home state in Wisconsin. Huh. And they poured all of their energy and money into a business, and they were fully committed to this tilapia fish farm.
I would just like to know how they got to this.
You were at like a Reiki healing thing in Port Townsend, met up and got married a month later, and now you're farming fish in Wisconsin.
Like, who sold who? Sounds like he definitely sold her on this.
This is her home state, though. So I don't know. So
God, what do I know?
They had invested everything into what they had, like money-wise, into this fish farm. In an additional $400,000 in loans.
Holy shit. Okay.
It's a big amount of money in like the early 90s.
Holy moly.
So they did all this to get the farm running.
Okay.
And it seems like they're doing okay, but like maybe not as lucrative as I thought because it is a farm, right?
Because
farming is very hard work.
I know. Yeah.
So in the late...
It took a while to pay those loans off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In late summer of 1993... Craig planned a trip to Colorado Springs, Colorado, hoping to secure some new buyers for their product, aka their farmed fish, and expand the operation. So he's making moves.
Okay.
Going from Wisconsin to Colorado. So Christine was uneasy about this trip because Craig had recently suffered a serious concussion It doesn't really say how, but it's just had a concussion. Yeah, maybe. And she thought maybe like him driving this long distance might be just like a little too much because he was still suffering from headaches and bouts of dizziness from this concussion.
Oh my God. Okay.
So it was a serious concussion.
That sounds like it.
Yeah. So Craig, I think, is being a very typical man. It's like trying to act like he's fine, right?
At least we've got these meetings set up, right?
He's like doing this thing. Yeah, he probably had like this thing set up for long term, but he was trying to like act like he was cool about it. And then like, Christine had talked about, she's like, oh, well, he was acting like he was fine, but he was also actively sucking down aspirin for his headaches.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
You know, I think she like also witnessed it and was like, you need to chill a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But he decided to go. Regardless,
he's gone.
August 28th, 1993, Craig leaves for Colorado. And he leaves in a school bus, like a short bus, that they had retrofitted to transport fish.
Whoa.
So there was like tanks and like filters and food and I don't know if it was like climate controlled, but they made some stuff happen so they could haul fish around.
Okay.
I don't know for how long, like the duration that they could feel like they could do it comfortably, but he leaves for Colorado in this bus.
Okay.
So then he arrives in Colorado and he rents a car for his meetings.
So yes. Yeah. That makes sense.
Also, this bus probably stunk.
Yeah, and it's ridiculous.
Maybe he was like, I don't know, like if he's planning, I don't know if he like left with fish in the van or in the school bus.
In the bus.
But,
or if it's maybe like you can see how we transport it.
Yeah.
If you want to, you can come over and take a look.
Right.
Where I'm staying.
Yeah.
But like I'm not going to show up to all my meetings.
In a school bus. I'm
commute around the city in this.
I'm not going to drive in a stinky bus.
I think that's not. That's not weird at all.
Yeah, like so he parks the bus at like a hotel.
Yes.
He rents a car.
Okay.
So he rents his car for his meetings. And then on August 30th at around 9 p.m., he calls Christine from his hotel room. And he sounds fine. That's what she says. And it's the last time she hears from him. Spoiler alert. So Craig was due to return home the next day on August 31st. But he never arrives home in the school bus. So she's like, where the fuck is he? She hasn't heard from him. This is before cell phones, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Christine says that she immediately knew something was wrong and that her worst fears were confirmed when the same day Craig's credit cards were used, not in Colorado Springs, but in El Paso, Texas.
Okay.
Which is 675 miles south of Colorado Springs.
How much later the same day? Like, what time that day?
It doesn't really specify, but it's just, it's the same day. And, like, 675 miles is a pretty big distance to drive the same day.
Huge, yeah.
Yeah. So, 2 weeks later, the rental car that Craig had used was discovered across the border in Juarez, Mexico.
Sorry, what? Say it again?
So, 2 weeks after
the charge.
The charge. Yeah, the credit card's being used in El Paso, Texas. The rental car Craig had used was discovered across the border in Juarez, Mexico, which is like right across the border.
Yeah.
And it's abandoned in the parking lot.
Okay.
So there is no blood, no Craig, no answers.
Okay.
But the credit cards were in that car.
They were in the car.
Mm-hmm. So the credit card was used in El Paso.
Mm-hmm. And then they find it in Juarez, Mexico.
And then they find the car with the credit cards in Juarez.
Okay.
Yeah, so it went across the border at some point. So a Colorado Springs detective named Robert Johnson, not the famous guitar player, he led the initial investigation because this is now a missing persons case, right? So there were no signs of foul play at the hotel that Craig was staying at. And Craig's luggage and personal belongings were left behind and they were mostly undisturbed.
Oh, so he left all the things. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So Christine, she flies to Colorado Springs on September 14th, a couple weeks after, to investigate this whole situation herself. She's like, I am doing this myself. I don't trust anybody. So she believes that Craig may have been attacked and suffering from the lingering effects of his concussion, wandered off in a confused state.
Mm.
So, like, he had already been suffering from, like, some maybe altered brain stuff. He was attacked, maybe, like, hit over the head. The hit over the head caused something to happen to him. And then he, like, wanders off.
Okay.
Because she said that he was the type of man who would have been like, oh, yeah, I got hurt, but there's still work to do. There's still things to be done because he's, like, a farmer at this point, right?
Mm-hmm.
So he would have gotten up and, like, continued on.
Okay.
Is what she's saying. So around this time, the case begins also receiving media attention because it's, like, just a man that just disappears out of nowhere, right? And it's getting media attention in both Colorado and Wisconsin. Local TV news ran features on Christine's search for Craig during this point because Christine is kind of the only person really intensely searching for Craig.
Hmm. Okay.
And I think investigators maybe thought he just, like, ran off.
Yeah.
Essentially. So the coverage covering Christine and her search for Craig leads to a tip.
Okay.
From a nurse named Judy Iman. And she was from Montana, but she contacted Christine saying that she had seen a man matching Craig's description on a train from Montana to Washington State.
What?
Yes.
Okay.
And this was about 2 weeks after he disappeared.
Okay.
And she says that the man seemed disoriented and disheveled.
Oh, well.
Yeah. And he was talking about fish tanks.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So he's talking about fish tanks.
He's talking about fish tanks and foreign fish.
Oh my God. That sounds like him.
And she says that he was being harassed by two drunk passengers on the plane. Train.
Train.
And Judy says that she remembers this interaction very well because she was incredibly annoyed by these, like, people arguing about fish and stuff. So these guys harassing this other guy because she was trying to get some sleep on the train. And she was, like, kept, like, looking at her and be like, shut the fuck up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. They were, like, just being really obnoxious. And so Judy, she says, with her medical experience and expertise, because she was a retired nurse, she says that she believed the man had suffered a head injury and she didn't think that he was drunk or had some sort of disability.
Also, it was giving TBI.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm saying disability.
Mm-hmm.
Judy's is a very just different word.
It's the R word.
Yeah, it rhymes with farted.
Oh, no.
And I was like, whoa, girl, you're a nurse. But this is also Unsolved Mysteries in the early 90s, so... If you watch it, just know that's there. Okay. So this is when Christine, like, just gets to work, for lack of a better word. Christine followed this lead from Judy immediately. So for about 6 weeks, she retraced the train route that Judy was on.
Mm.
And she stops at every station between Montana and Washington. I think he, like, left, or it was, like, what, from Whitefish, Montana. And she starts taking photos of every station. And, like, she's also trying to see if there's a sign of Craig in the town adjacent to the station.
Yeah.
So she's putting out flyers.
Yeah.
And she's taking pictures.
Smart. Yeah.
Oh. So then on December 26th in the same year, Christine met with Judy in person in Oregon. And she showed her photos of each train station on the route.
I was like, which one?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And Judy was able to point out the station that the man believed to be Craig got off.
Okay.
She's like, I think it was this station. So Judy believes that the man she saw to be Craig got off in Wishram, Washington.
Okay.
Which is a small town near the Oregon border.
Okay. Yeah.
And Christine saw a possible mix-up. So Craig had once lived in Washougal, Washington.
Yeah.
Which is a similarly named town.
Yeah.
And she theorized that if Craig was in a disoriented state, he may have confused the two and got off on this town.
Mm-hmm.
So Craig's adult son at this time, he goes to Wishram and he is just handing out missing persons flyers and posters and, like, hanging them up all around the town, hoping that someone might recognize Craig.
Mm.
But unfortunately, this doesn't bring up any leads. Which sucks.
Yeah.
So meanwhile, during Christine's, like, search, investigators begin questioning another possibility. That is if Craig could have staged his own disappearance.
Okay.
Which I would probably do the same.
It's not that easy to do.
I mean, it's easier in the 90s, yeah. Maybe?
Easier, probably, than it is now.
Mm-hmm. Totally. So, Craig's credit cards were left in plain sight in the rental car, like I said before, which would make it possibly easier to, like, clock it and be like, oh, this person had this rental car.
Like, as a hint.
As a hint,
a red herring kind of a situation.
Or maybe making it more likely that someone would break into the car and steal the car with their credit cards. It's... I don't know. Like,
or steal the car or the cards and use them somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So there's also beard clippings found in the car that had been trimmed with scissors, not like a clipper, like a razor or something, which leads investigators to believe that Craig may have been altering his appearance to disappear.
Sure.
Which I can see that. But also, I feel like hairs just fall out of your face. I don't know how many hairs. I guess
you had a whole beard.
Yeah, I guess it would be obvious it was clipped as opposed to like just falling out.
And I'm thinking like a clipper would have been more expensive.
Yeah.
If you're like going to steal something and you don't want to like use your card somewhere, you're going to probably steal a pair of scissors over beard trimmer.
Yeah, totally. That's a good point. So Craig also had $2,500 in cash on him when he disappeared.
Okay.
Which, I mean, isn't it a huge amount of money?
No, but that would have been more than, I guess.
Yeah, right.
It's not going to get you forever, that's for sure.
No. I guess for, like, drive off somewhere else.
It could get you, like, a couple of weeks, maybe.
Maybe. But, like, even then, I don't know.
Yeah, what's the long-term plan?
Mm-hmm.
Unless you have no money, and that's all the money you have.
Yeah.
And you're trying to escape because you're severely in debt.
No, it didn't seem like they were significantly in debt, from what I've read.
Okay.
And, like, at this point, they've been married for, like, 3 years.
It's not very long.
But, like, I mean, if you met for a month and you got married, and then you got married, you've been together for 3 years after you got married, after being together for a month? I don't know.
I'm just thinking it's a super grifter.
Yeah, maybe. Con man.
Yeah.
Thing. So,
I'm not getting that vibe.
But. Yeah. So, the bus that Craig drove to Colorado, at this time, didn't have any fish tanks, food, or cooling equipment in the bus, which I guess would be very odd if he was actually trying to sell fish on this fish selling trip. But I will say that sources were unclear that Craig had ever had the intention of driving to Colorado Springs to sell or buy fish specifically, and it could have just been a like investor or like what's the other word, not source.
Was he trying to sell the bus?
No, I think he was trying to sell fish, but he could just been like driving over to maybe
have
a meeting with them and then, I'm going to try to sell
this. This is what I've got.
Yeah.
Like, look at, I can't show you like my whole farm, but this is part of it.
Yeah. This is how I distribute.
This is the transportation.
Yeah. Contractor, maybe meeting. I don't know. That is a very peculiar point of the story. I don't know if it's a smoking gun.
No, I don't. I don't know what his plan was.
Maybe he just wanted to drive the bus because she could sleep in the bus. I don't know.
What's her name?
Christine.
I wish Christine could tell us what his plan was.
I know.
I feel like she could fill in some.
I mean, she was definitely like he was driving over there to meet with some people who maybe wanted to buy fish from them, like as a distributor.
Okay.
So he had been like just driving over there before actually bringing the fish over, seeing how serious they are about them wanting to actually buy fish. Like, he could, like, I think it sounded like they're also trying to expand their operation
for selling tilapia. Yeah, reasons why he would bring it along. Yeah.
Like, bring the bus, maybe not the fish.
Yeah, you gotta pay for it before I bring it over here.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm not gonna just travel it with me.
Yeah, exactly.
Back and forth.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
So, investigators speculated that Craig may have felt overwhelmed by the debt that they had accumulated for this fish farm, which is tracks, right? Or by pressure or simply regretting his impulsive life choices at this point.
Okay.
And that he had just decided to kind of fuck off.
Maybe he had like some kind of bipolar or something.
Maybe. It's a good question.
Like an actual, you know. Issue. Chemical imbalance.
Like if he had a concussion, maybe it like sparked something else. So despite Christine's effort to locate Craig on this like road trip following the train, the trail ultimately goes cold. And she goes back to the fish farm in Wisconsin. She's heartbroken, but she's like, I'm not going to give up. I'm either going to die or I'm going to find him.
Wow.
Those are the options.
Yeah.
Which, she's a real fucking G.
Yeah.
You know? So, Christine continues to contact local and national news outlets about Craig's disappearance. She also contacts a little show called Unsolved Mysteries.
And here we are.
And they run a segment covering Craig's story in 1993.
Wow.
Yeah. So, the case goes unsolved for almost 2 years after this. Even with the Unsolved Mysteries segment. Until someone watched an episode of Unsolved Mysteries in July of 1995. Mm. The one person who would definitely solve this case. A re-airing of the episode on television caught the attention of a man living in Key West, Florida. He recognizes himself.
Holy shit.
It's fucking Craig.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
Key West? How did he get down there? Okay.
So, Craig contacted Christine. And he claimed that he had been mugged in Colorado Springs in 1993. And this attack put him in the hospital.
Mm.
And he says that he woke up in the hospital and he had no memory of the life before. Listen, I'm just giving you the story.
I'm trying.
I know. Your face is saying skeptical, and I understand. I do.
Ooh, that wouldn't work for me.
So Craig then goes on to tell Christine that he woke in the hospital in Colorado and remembered his name as Ron.
What?
Yeah. He says he woke up, he can't remember anything else, but he says he remembered his name as Ron.
Okay. So his new name is Ron?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So he had wandered across the United States for months trying to figure whatever what happened, but he eventually arrived in Key West.
How did he get around for months?
I don't fucking know.
I have questions for Ron.
He did have $2,500 in cash on him. I guess a train ticket wasn't that much back then.
No. Months? 2 years later?
Mm-hmm.
In Key West?
Mm-hmm.
I am highly suspicious.
Highly sus.
I honestly, if I'm her, I'm like, how fucking dare you?
I agree.
Contact me?
Yeah.
You motherfucker.
Yeah.
You motherfucker.
I will tell you what I think at the end. I will tell you what I think at the end.
Listen, if it's my man, I do not buy it.
Yeah. You're like, stay dead. I'm cashing in that life insurance policy. No, that is... You stupid bitch.
It's too many things are not adding up for me. How did you get there? How have you been living? What's your job? When did you get the job? Okay.
So he says he wandered around the United States for months. And then he eventually ends up in Key West. And he found work as a scuba.
It's not easy to get to Key West.
I know. He says he found work as a scuba diver.
It's exactly the kind of place that a man that looks like summertime Santa Claus. A fucking street Santa. Would spend his summers.
I'm pissed.
I'm pissed for Christine. Like these things just like sort of add up to me. I'm like, oh no.
Yeah. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just giving you the story.
I don't even know what I just said. I'm just like, I have bad feelings about it. Okay, go on.
So, after this conversation,
what did she do?
She goes to meet Craig.
She goes to meet him?
Mm-hmm.
That's so, fine. You don't get to come to my house.
Yeah, so their reunion was very emotional, but also heartbreaking.
It's really him?
Yes. But because it wasn't a happy ending that Christine was hoping for, she was hoping to be reunited, his memory would come back, and it would
He's like, that's me, but I don't know you?
Mm-hmm. So Craig says he does not remember Christine. He has no recollection of how they met, their whirlwind romance, or the farm they had in Wisconsin. He's like, none of this is sparking anything for me.
Why do you think he would even call?
He felt bad?
That's weird.
Like, he felt really bad that she had gone to so many lengths to try to find him and trying to give her some peace.
And he was just like, that's obviously me. It's not just like a guy that looks kind of like me.
I don't know, but like, I would like to think that maybe he felt bad if like he is like fucking faking this.
And he's like, you know what? Let me help.
let me just like help her get some closure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Put her out of her misery. Okay. Yes. Yes.
But like,
okay, sure.
I feel like a man who would feel bad probably wouldn't have fucking called. Because
if he really didn't remember, what are the chances that he's watching it, that he sees himself?
It was a re-air for like 2 years after it aired.
Okay, so he saw himself. And then that I think like a man that truly, I don't know. I'd just be like, ugh, grunt and move on with your Key West life.
But like if you had some sort of like brain injury where
you knew something wasn't right,
you woke up at like 40 fucking six and you're like, I don't remember what happened before.
I find it highly suspicious.
I'm saying I find it highly suspicious too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to understand like why.
I think you were right the first time. Maybe he was like, fuck, I didn't realize she wouldn't just
like let it go.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like this is the ghosting.
Yeah,
time
this is the ultimate ghosting.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
1990s ghosting.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
Yeah. So they travel together to Colorado Springs.
Okay.
To like go back to the hotel, like basically retrace the steps of like what Craig did.
Okay. Yeah.
Before he went missing.
Okay.
But he says like nothing returns to him.
I really don't know what to believe here.
I don't know.
I'm trying to give the benefit of the doubt here.
Yeah.
It's very hard. But yeah. That's awkward.
This is a picture of them in Colorado Springs. I think this is on Unsolved Mysteries.
Honestly, they're cute together.
I know, they are very cute.
Yes.
This is a cute picture of them together.
See? A photo is this. Damn.
It, like, he does look a little different. Like, his hair's shorter, his beard's trimmed. She's like,
that's my man.
She's like, this is my fucking secret, Santa.
Oh.
My street Santa, my summer Santa.
I'm sad for
her. This is my boy.
Yeah.
I mean,
I thought the original Santa could get it, so.
Yeah, I know. Like, now he's more like, he's less like unhinged, he's more trimmed.
I'm suspicious.
I know, I am too. So eventually, Craig and Christine get divorced because he just doesn't remember her, is what he says. It's like, I don't know who you are. I'm so sorry.
Okay.
And they remain close friends.
Hold on.
Okay. Yep. Go on.
This is a man who's met this woman who has been attracted to her. Same man.
Mm-hmm.
Meets her later. Is he not also smitten with her? Like, suddenly?
That's a good question.
I don't know you.
Like, maybe it doesn't matter at this point.
Because 50 first dates.
They're me in their very different fucking circumstances, though.
Okay, but 50 first dates.
That's true.
She still loved him every time, eventually.
Yeah.
Like, she wasn't immediate. I mean, but, like, you know what I mean? Like, the chemistry was there.
But there was a video of, like, hey, this is what. Is that based on true story? This is not based on true story, is it?
I don't think so. I don't know.
Well, I feel like it is.
I don't think so. I don't know.
I don't know.
I barely.
I guess we can't really base it on like a movie that's not real.
An Adam Sandler movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Or he gets
like,
a girl that's
way too
hot for him.
What are the chances like it worked for him? Like the it's a lot of it is pheromones.
Mm-hmm.
Yada yada. Like it worked one time and he meets her and like nothing.
It didn't seem like it wasn't nothing. I think the pretense of how they meet up though is very fucking different. Then, like, them meeting at, like, a Reiki healing session together where they're both divorcees, you know?
Yeah,
as opposed to, like, hey, I was your fucking wife.
And we had responsibilities.
We had responsibilities in a farm together, and you were, like, off selling some fucking shit for our farm. You know?
Well, I mean, suspicious.
Like, I'm talking about you in Unsolved Mysteries on national TV. It's very different from like we're meeting like we're making.
But if you really like, didn't remember, like, don't you think you would meet her and you would still have a spark?
I'm not saying they didn't have a spark. I just feel like the spark
sounds
is
like he because even if he listen, it's a man, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If there's a spark, he's like, I'm gonna make this work. Like,
yeah,
she just came to me,
right? I don't know. I feel like the spark is a little sullied.
But it's also a long way to go to break up with someone. It's insane.
Yeah. Like, why even call at all?
It's fucking insane.
I know.
So I either have to believe it comes down to this all the time.
Every fucking time.
Someone is either telling the truth or they're a diabolical piece of shit.
Yeah. It's like the ultimate fucking liar.
I know. And I just never know.
But like the long con doesn't even make sense.
It never makes sense. But like.
But this one specifically, because it's not like he's. If nothing else, he's probably adding more debt into his life because he had a fucking loan for a farm. Right?
If he's a different guy, he doesn't owe on that loan.
But, like, I don't know where that works.
I don't think you can escape your fingerprints and your social security.
That's what I'm saying. Is like,
he wasn't declared dead.
Yeah.
I know.
So if he's signing up to be like, hey, calling Christine and be like, hey, I'm your husband.
I don't know.
That means he's taking on the responsibility of everything else instead of just pretending he didn't exist.
Okay, so they do a legal divorce.
They do a legal divorce.
Okay.
That's what I'm saying. Okay. Unless she was maybe, I don't know why she'd be in it. I don't fucking know.
No.
She didn't write a book or anything after this.
Yeah, okay.
So Craig moves to California to live with friends. Christine relocates to Wyoming to start fresh at this point.
Yikes.
So I'm fucking out of here. So
that's pretty. Colorado, Wyoming, beautiful locations.
Very beautiful locations all around. So it's unclear if they are now friends and if they remain in contact in the end. It's unknown. So
yeah, I wouldn't.
Yeah. So Craig Williamson was found alive, adrift, and a stranger to the life he had once lived. He can't remember his wife, the farm, and the life they had built together. Or the dreams they had tried so hard to chase. Christina got the miracle she'd been praying for, which were answers, but not the kind that heals. Just the kind that closes doors halfway. Craig's reappearance solved the mystery on paper, but not in the heart. Because when someone disappears, truly disappears, they take pieces of the people who love them with them. Whether he was a man lost in the fog of trauma or one who quietly escaped the weight of his life, only Craig knows the full truth. And maybe not even he does. Some stories end in reunion, others in reinvention. But this story ends somewhere in between.
In between.
And that is the Craig Williamson. That's the disappearance of Craig. Why is that word so fucking hard for me?
I don't know. I thought I had something to say, but I lost it.
Oh, okay.
God damn it.
It's fucking weird, right?
It's weird.
It's really, really, really weird. Because it's a long con, and he is a con man, but, like, why come back when he said when he did?
Oh, very strange.
It's very strange.
But yeah, I would,
he eventually pops up. Like, what the fuck? How often does that happen? Very often.
I don't know, but they do always come back, don't they?
Sometimes.
They usually do have something to say.
Yeah.
Number of months, years later.
Be like, hey, girl.
I'm back. It's usually useless nothingness. Like that. A big nothing burger.
Yeah.
It's me.
That's all. I'm back. I was in Key West. I was scuba diving.
Yeah, that's all.
Like, don't mind me. But
tricky.
It's very tricky. It's a weird fucking story. And
what a nice thing to say for Craig.
It feels like he's a con man. I'm not gonna lie.
I just feel like it's a man that's lying, but
yeah, whatever. It seems like a liar in a lot of ways, but it seems like a really long way to lie.
It's really it makes not a lot of sense. But people who lie a lot don't.
Yeah,
often makes sense.
Yeah, I couldn't find anything from his like first wife. That, like, I just there's nothing out there. It's just like kind of the story and nothing else. Unfortunately,
no children.
No, he has kids.
What?
Yeah, I said like there was a point where his son was like putting flyers up in that
one. Oh yeah,
city.
So he abandoned his children too.
That's what I'm saying. Did he abandon his fucking kids?
Yikes.
Or he abandoned his whole fucking life, his friends, his family, like so everybody.
It's real? Okay, so let's imagine that it's real. I just have questions. That's all. Like, how did you do it?
Yeah.
And how did the car get in Mexico?
Yeah. You have to go over the border. Like, I know the border is, like, different from when it is now, but, like, you still have to show some ID.
I don't know, man.
It's really fucking
and
weird.
And then him being, like, in Washington, maybe, and then all the way. It's just, like,
in Key West, the other side of the country.
We are far flung.
Yeah. He's all over the goddamn place.
You know? The only other, like, I'm trying to run away from my life place, apart from Mexico and Key West, Florida, is Alaska.
Yeah, totally.
So give him a couple more years.
Maybe we'll end up there. I don't know.
Or, like, I don't know. Or there's an explanation, but, like, we didn't hear it. Didn't hear it.
I don't think today. If there is a better explanation,
Craig's, I just want to know the logistics.
Craig, zipped his lip about
how'd
it.
How'd you do it?
Yeah.
Like, what did you do?
Right.
What do you remember? Yeah. What do you remember?
Yeah. He says he doesn't remember anything.
Well, I know, but when you woke up from wherever the hell you were, how did you carry on with no money, no nothing?
He had some money on him.
That's it? You created a whole new life in Key West with $2,500?
I guess.
No ID?
I guess.
What did you do? I want to know. What does it take?
What? I get, yeah, in the early 90s?
Suspicious.
Very suspicious. Are they both grifting us? Are they, you know, is it all just a fucking facade for Unsolved Mysteries?
Maybe. Honestly, that would be like a
best case scenario. That would make the most sense.
You can, yeah, do it.
But is Robert Stack of Unsolved Mysteries a liar?
No. If they were grifted, then they wouldn't know.
Okay.
Then they believed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Best case scenario.
Right. It's a weird one, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's less
sad.
Yeah. Last week's episode, that's for sure. Yeah. It's just a weird fucking disappearance story.
I know, I didn't expect both of them to come away alive in this story.
Either. Yeah.
I like that.
I was like, whoa. Like, oh, he just comes back?
They're alive!
He has no fucking explanation. I don't know if they're still alive, but...
This is a much lighter episode, even though we trashed and dragged this man. But if there's no victim, then I'm just talking trash about a man who abandoned his woman.
Yeah, nobody, okay? No crime.
I'll do it again.
I'll do it over and over and over. 100 times over.
You had responsibilities.
Yeah, sir. And that's fine if you feel overwhelmed by them. But you can't leave your woman behind. If really they're both trying to, like, just escape the farm, why don't they just go together? She seemed like a down-ass bitch. Who'd just go with him?
I know.
Like, let's go to Mexico and pretend we died.
I know.
Like, leave the car.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure she probably would have done it. Mm. Oh, Christine.
Well, I hope Christine, like, did
good things.
I'm sure she found a cowboy.
Hopefully.
On Wyoming.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, totally.
Or someone else.
Yeah.
Cowgirl.
Somebody.
Someone.
Cow day.
Yes.
Nice cow day. Okay, but that's it for this week. Thanks for listening. A little less intense from last week. And we're not going to record for like another month after this one.
Yes, there's a little bit of travel.
Because you're traveling. Okay, well, we will talk to you guys next week. Thank you for listening. Do the things. You know what we're talking about.
Please do the things.
Like the so the following and the subscribing and the rating and the liking us because we have problems.
Anyways,
we'll talk to you guys next week. Until next time,
stay grimly curious. Thank you so much for listening. Music by Alex Kingston and Adam McKinnon.
For podcast photos and updates, follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Grimly Podcast.
Be sure to rate and review, and we will see you next week for another episode. Bye, bitch.